There were millions of people living in North, Central, and South America before 1492, yet not one of them could tell anyone else where a Catholic bishop existed. Did that mean there were no Catholic bishops living when Christopher Columbus and some Catholic priests walked on American soil for the first time in 1492? Thousands of Catholics lived in Japan during the Great Persecution there. Not 1% of them could tell his neighbor when a Catholic bishop would be in their area for confirmation and ordinations. Did that mean no Catholic bishops existed on earth? Was the church still visible? Can you tell me the names and addresses of 50 or 10 or even 5 true Catholic bishops that were living during the worst part of the Arian heresy? St. Athanasius always knew where a true Catholic bishop in the visible church was existing. Not 1% of his flock knew where St. Athanasius was at 90% of the time. Read the lessons in the Divine Office for his feast. You will learn St. Athanasius was in hiding most of the time to save his life. During the Arian heresy, only 80% to 90% of the Catholic bishops left the church. The Holy Ghost told us in the Bible that during the great apostasy, there will be a great falling away. If 80 to 90% fell away into the Arian heresy, how many Catholic bishops do you expect to see every day during the great apostasy? It should be obvious there are more traditionalist movement bishops visibly present throughout the world today than there were Catholic bishops visible during the Arian heresy. We do not live during the time of the great apostasy if all of the traditionalist movement bishops are truly Catholic. For those people who think it is justified for Duke Lefebvre and their offspring to consecrate other bishops without a papal mandate, please read again Ad Apostolorum Principis. Important sections of it are found on pages 7 and 8 of the True Church Letter. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 3 days before Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated, as is written in Ad Apostolorum Principis? If you answer no, please explain why. If a Catholic bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 3 days after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 3 months after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 3 years after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 7 years after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 10 years after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 15 years after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. If a bishop consecrated another bishop without a papal mandate 30 years after Pope Pius XII died, would they commit sacrilege and be excommunicated? If you answer no, please explain why. And we can go on, but please give an exact date when bishops were permitted to consecrate another bishop without a papal mandate since the death of Pope Pius XII. If you cannot give an exact date and truly justifiable reasons for the change, then why do you accept the traditionalist movement belief that bishops may now consecrate other bishops without a papal mandate? If you believe everything the Council of Trent taught, how can you believe bishops and priests without jurisdiction can absolve you? If you believe everything the Council of Trent taught, how can you believe bishops and priests without jurisdiction can found religious congregations and accept religious vows in the name of the Church? If you believe everything the Council of Trent taught, it is impossible to accept and believe the Novus Ordo and the Traditionalist Movement churches are the true Church. If you do not believe everything the Council of Trent taught, why do you claim to be a Catholic? Now consider the case of the older, truly ordained priests that joined the new non-Catholic Novus Ordo sect. When a cleric leaves the Catholic Church and becomes a member of any non-Catholic sect, he loses his office, authority, and jurisdiction. The public abjuration requires someone with an office, authority, and jurisdiction to receive that abjuration and restore the cleric to the Church. Remember that even if the priest is received back into the Church before he can function as a priest, a Catholic bishop must again give him jurisdiction. The same facts are true about Lefebvre and all the others. This may sound very strict, but who with authority changed this teaching of the Church? If no one with authority changed it, why do not all Catholics have to live according to this teaching of the infallible Church? Why are Catholics now free to pick and choose the teachings of the Church they will accept and which ones they will reject? Does not such pick and choose conduct make them protesting Protestants? Archbishop Lefebvre made the statements that the Novus Ordo Church was not Catholic, and so on. You can find more of these in the book that I wrote, The True Church is One Holy Catholic and Apostolic. Can you tell me how many days of his life Archbishop Lefebvre did not in fact belong to this new non-Catholic Novus Ordo sect after making such statements? Did he proclaim at the same time that Paul VI was not a true pope? Did he clearly, succinctly, and articulately explain how a true vicar of Jesus Christ can, at the same time, or at any time, be the head of a non-Catholic religion? No, do not be mistaken. Archbishop Lefebvre never did publicly adjure any errors or heresy, and neither did Archbishop Duke. Archbishop Lefebvre only made statements which he did not live by himself. If he was a true man of God, a true Catholic Archbishop, the one who truly loved the Church and the truth, why did Lefebvre not live according to the true statement he made when he said the Novus Ordo Church was not Catholic? The priestly fraternity of St. Peter do not say the Tridentine Mass. They may say words in Latin, but it is a new liturgy. The Society of St. Pius X do not offer the true Mass. They pray the divine office and offer the services according to the rubrics of John the 23rd. They put St. Joseph's name in the canon of the Mass. Please know all the facts about the mission priests that you receive sacraments from. Remember, it is only apparent that he is apostolic and has jurisdiction. His confession lines may be long, but if you will understand what the Catholic Church teaches, I am quite certain you will find that he does not have jurisdiction. Nor does the church supply it under Canon 209. Many may confess their sins to him, but he does not absolve them. This is a very serious matter. Please study, learn, and accept what the Catholic Church teaches. I thank you for your prayers and sacrifices and for listening to this tape. If you want other information, you can contact Patrick Henry, who is now recording this, at 7067 South Tumbleweed Drive, Safford, Arizona, 85546. The phone number is 520-428-1775. May Jesus, Mary, and Saint Joseph grant you every grace you need to live in perfect uniformity with God's most holy will, live and die in the true Catholic Church, and be with them for all of eternity. Please pray for me as I will for you. And I conclude again, if your opinion and ideas are not as you believe mine are, as expressed on this tape, please be kind enough to look up the facts, send me the truth, so that I may understand and know what is right. Thank you. God bless you. Ora pro nobis.